Good evening, everybody. This is Paul Hopkins, and I'm with Amazing Grape, and this is our national conference call, and this is the last national conference call we'll be having before Christmas 2012. We've had a lot of changes and a lot of things take place this year, but we have seen a tremendous growth, and we've seen just so many, many things that all of you have pulled together and done and brought people together, and we have several more doctors that have joined us this year. We have just a tremendous things to share with everybody with all the things that have happened with Amazing Grape this year. And I want to share some of those with you all, but I thought tonight, since it's our last call before Christmas, that maybe I get some of you to share some stories too. And so I said I was going to mention there, because of the health issues that people are running into here lately with all the allergies and colds and flu and everything, it's that time of year for those things to happen. And I listened on the news the other day. They said 112 million flu shots had been given in the United States this year so far. Now, the averages work out in each year and have for several years. And the people that I respect and know in the herbal business tell me that there will be more people, especially older people, there will be more people to die from a fall in their home than will die from taking the flu. So you have to judge where most of the flu shots are related. There was running anywhere from $15 to $20. One lady told me the other day that hers was $32, and I understand that if you place where they let Medicare pay for them, then they're much more than that. So you can imagine what the bottom line is over a flu shot. Now, the flu shots may help some particular areas, and we are not here to dispute all of that part of it and everything, but I want to speak just a little bit about the nutritional side of our business, where I've been teaching cleansing and nutrition for now on to 35 years. I've seen a lot of different things happen. I've seen a lot of people that got flu shots and stayed sick for 6 weeks. I've had people to get along just fine without the flu shots. I've seen different things with it. But when we talk about nutrition and when we talk about herbs and how that they can keep you healthier through the winter, so, you know, that you don't have these kinds of things, sometimes you will still have something to jump on you a little bit anyway. And some of this sometimes can be by taking stuff too much. And I'll give you an example of this. I've got a toxicologist friend who's done a lot of formulating for us over the years, and he tells me that, we've had him in many times out here to do trainings for us, and he says if you want to build your immune system, you need to build it a little while and slack off a little bit. Build it a little while and slack off. And a good example he uses is echinacea. Echinacea is an excellent product. It's available everywhere. It's an excellent thing to build your immune system with if you'll take it for 3 or 4 or 5 days, let it, you know, stop it and not take it for 2 or 3 days, and then take it for 3 or 4 days and not take it for 2 or 3 days. And that way your body can build your immune system. But he informed me that if you take it all the time, constantly, then it can actually cause your immune system to eventually crash. And the same way with there's several other herbs that you can use to build your immune system. Now, we don't normally think of Amazing Grape as an immune system builder, although it is a powerful antioxidant, and so it can have some abilities in those areas. And with all the other nutrients in it, with all the other resveratrol and ellagic acid and the OPCs and the bioflavonoids and everything, it certainly can build your immune system. And so it doesn't hurt to give yourself a respite you know, maybe take it 5 days and leave it off a couple days. Take it 5 days and leave it off a couple days occasionally. A lot of people take it constantly. I tell people that I don't recommend for anybody to take more than an average dosage of one or two capsules a day on a regular basis, because I think that is a sufficient amount for anybody to take. And I cite a booklet that we have by from when Dr. Mascalet come over here from France in the late 70s, and I just started working with some of the stuff. And Dr. Mascalet talked to a lot of doctors in the United States, and he said grapeseed was really great for the arteries. It was great for the heart. It was great to stop edema. It was great to help strengthen your heart muscles and strengthen your arteries and have a lot of antioxidant strength and anti-inflammatory. He said it was great against rheumatoid arthritis. And he named off a lot of different things that he felt like that the grapeseed was good for. And he was talking about the vinifera grape or the bunch grape, cluster grape, the wine grape, those kind of things, because they had wine grapes in France. But he didn't know anything about the muscadine when he come over to America, because the muscadine is just native to the southeastern United States. And so in his studies and everything, he said that just a low dosage of grapeseed was good for most all of these things that might, you know, give you a problem. And so when you think of the muscadine, we put a 650 milligram capsule together of pure muscadine seed and skin. Well, that's 650 milligrams each capsule. So if you take two capsules a day, you're getting 1,300 milligrams of the finest muscadine grape seed and skin that you can, best grape that you can get, because it has all the nutrients in it. And so we think that is a fair dosage. If someone has an acute problem, has a severe problem, such as a diagnosis of cancer, or if they have a really severe problem with something that they want to correct, such as some joint damage or maybe some swelling or things like that, then I think it's okay to take a larger dosage, 6 or 8 or 10 capsules a day for a couple of weeks, and then cut back down to a normal dosage. And I think that's reasonable. I think that's fair. I think that's balanced. I think that's sensible. I learned a lot of my herbal situation from a doctor friend in Tennessee, and he just made it very plain. He said, I'm not a pill pusher. He said, I can tell you all the herbs you can use for different things, but he said, just use what you need when you have a particular situation and then drop back to a maintenance dosage. He said, you can take 7 times what it says on the bottle of most any herb, and it will not hurt you. But he says there's no sense taking more than what you need to get a little problem under control, whether it's a joint pain or whether it's a injury you've had or whatever, and then drop back to a regular dosage. Now, some people might question the value of that or the economics of it. I wanted to address that for just a minute tonight and tell you all that I've had inquiries, and I've had these for several years, with grapeseed, that grapeseed product is rather expensive, isn't it? You know, my insurance won't pay for it, and, you know, people like to take $200-$400 worth of drugs because the insurance will pay for them. But a herbal product that sells for $33 retail, some people may say, well, that's rather expensive. And so I had someone to call me this week and tell me that they could get a product from Puritan Pride, and they could get it for $9.95 a bottle, and if you buy a bottle, you get a bottle free. So you could get it for $5 a bottle. So that, you know, it's just a much better value. And so why would I charge such a high price for it? Well, first of all, our product is a full 650 milligrams of pure muscadine grape seed and skin. It's processed under the strictest quality control standards at the oldest and largest muscadine vineyard in North Carolina. the chemist who does the processing is very adamant about keeping the enzymes alive in our product, so he dries it very slowly under low heat. He keeps the temperature under 115 degrees, so it makes a great product for us. Now, in doing that, we feel like that we have actually a live product. And so when you put it out there and you use it, we see results. We see people calling us daily and weekly, telling us of the different things that it's doing for them to help with diabetes, to help with their blood sugar, to help with swelling, to, you know, different things that they're telling us. So we see results. We hear doctors telling us of the results that they're getting. We actually have doctors sending people to us, and we've never had that in the herbal industry. And so I have to make a comparison here. Let's say you go to Puritan Pride, and I ask this particular person, because I don't have a Puritan Pride book here, I ask the person to tell me what the ingredient was in it. And they said, well, it's 60 milligrams per capsule. And it's 60 milligrams of Rotaflunda vinifera grape. Well, a vinifera grape is the grape that has the bunch grape, the cluster grape, those kind, and the price of or the type of grape that is only has 19 pairs of chromosomes. The muscadine has 20 pairs. The vinifera grape was 60 milligrams. I asked the person, wonder what they put in the capsule to finish filling it out. Oh, they don't ever put any fillers or anything in their product like that. I said, well, our capsule will hold 650 milligrams. And if you put 60 milligrams in there, then you must have to put something else in order to fill up the capsule. So there has to be some ground up sticks and roots and fillers and things like that to fill up the capsule. Okay, let's still look at the price of it. Now, if you buy one, you get one free, and of course you have to pay shipping on it, but buy one, get one free, you're getting it for $5 a bottle, and it has 60 milligrams in it. So ours has 650 milligrams in it, so that would have to be over 10 times as much of the other product. So at the reduced price, the buy one, get one free price, at $5 a bottle, you would have to buy almost 11 bottles of this other product and take it in order to get the same amount of product that you get with our $33 product. So let's see, $5 a bottle times almost 11, that's about $55 for the same amount of product of a vinifera grape, which is not as good a grape. The muscadine, as you well know, has over 44 times as much resveratrol and ellagic acid as the vinifera grape or the wine grape. So $55 is what it would cost you to get enough of their product, plus you would have to pay shipping on 11 bottles. And with ours, it's $33, and it's free shipping anywhere in the United States. So now, just from that standpoint, who has the more quality and the better price for what you're getting? Now, this person informed me that they had another one they thought had the muscadine in it, but it's $32.95. Okay, and it usually, if you look at it in there, they usually have 500 milligrams in one like that. So it's still not as good a value as the Amazing Grape product, if you want to look at it from that standpoint. But the Amazing Grape product is not only free shipping to your door, but it is associated with a marketing plan that you buy one unit of product each month at full price, and then you can come back and buy as many as you want at half price. So I still think we have the best value in the industry. We have a good product. We have a good portion of testimonies already, a spectrum all over the country and things that are happening. And I still think we have the best marketing plan and the best product that you can get out there on the market today. Now, I didn't say we were the best company out there. I have humor to this discussion because, you see, it becomes a very serious discussion when you think about economics on it. But I will say that we're the second best company out there. Well, I think we've got the best product, but as far as the company, I'm going to call us the second best company because there's about a dozen out there that's claiming to be the first best company. And so everybody can't be first. So I'm just going to claim to be the second best company because, as you've heard me say on this conference call, and many of you have and some of you haven't, it's a little saying that Zig Ziglar always said. He said, the early bird gets the worm, but the second mouse gets the cheese. So I hope that will give you all a little lightness to a economic situation that you may be confronted with along the way. We think we have a good product. We're not competing with anybody. We are not out there trying to show. I just wanted to show you the example of what the truth of it is, although we're not in competition. We want people to take herbs. We want them to take grapeseed for their health. And we know from the testimonies, from the wonderful we've heard so many wonderful testimonies this past 6 months of so many things that has happened to people. And we want you to know that there are literally millions and millions and millions of people out there that need grapeseed that will help to balance their blood sugars. There's 75 million people out there that are either diabetic or borderline diabetic. And there are millions of other people that have joint pains and have heart problems, and they have swelling in their legs. There's just literally millions of these people out there, and we know that they could all benefit from having better health with just this one product, much less all the other products that may be used or other products that we may go to introducing during this next year. We are hoping during the next year to begin to introduce some new products along with the Amazing Grape product, and they will all be very closely related to it. And I think you'll be excited about some of the stuff as we begin to talk about that. But whenever that you think about all of the things that we have to look at with it, we want to do good in the community. We want people to be healthier. We want them to get healthy and stay healthy. And so if there are literally, you know, several dozen companies out there, and they're all selling to a huge audience of people, and they're all doing well and prospering, then you can still say that all of them is not even going to be enough to touch the market that there is in America today. There are literally tens of millions of people who need our product. And if we was all doing well and prospering, we still wouldn't be reaching but just a small portion of the people of America, much less the whole world. So think of it as a tremendous growth project. We're looking forward to an exciting new year next year. But I wanted to thank all of you for all the successes, all of the things that we've heard, all of the hard work that each one of you've done, the people you've brought to the business, the doctors, the different things that have happened this year. But I thought that I would switch gears here for the last little while of our call tonight, and I'd like to hear from some of you people. I'd like for some Bill Burgess and Billy and different ones and Sharon, some of you. I'd like to hear some of you all tell some of your favorite Christmas stories. This time of year is a festive time of year, and a lot of you got some really good little stories from times past and everything, and I think it'd do good to switch gears a little bit and share some of those. Anybody want to start?
Hello.
Go ahead. Hit star six and come on in and tell your story.
My name is Kweku Opari. Actually, it's not about Christmas. Willie introduced me to this platform, and I've tried to find out if I don't need it anymore, how do I unsubscribe? Because I thought I was going to have time to take the pills. But due to my heavy schedule, I can't even finish one bottle. And I think my next one will be on the way coming to me. It's going to be too much in my house. So I wanted to find out, I've been through the website, and I can't get to any number that will be available to reach you guys.
Well, the numbers are there on the website, and, of course, your number is on the outside of the bottle.
On the website, there's no number. I tried. I checked. So Willie told me he was going to furnish me with a number.
Oh, well, the number is on the outside of the bottle, but we'd be glad to do anything we can to help you with it.
Yeah, so the 877-987-7232 is the number.
That's right.
Oh, okay. That's fine. So I've
the phone number. Call us up anytime during the week. We'd be glad to talk to you and help you with anything on it.
That will be fine. That will be fine. I'll call you tomorrow morning. Then we'll talk.
All
right. Thank you for the conference, though.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
And anybody else there? Bill, you got something to tell us tonight?
Playing Santa Claus.
You're playing Santa Claus?
Yes.
Well, now that's been something you've done a right smart of, hadn't you?
Yeah, I played, let's see, today's Monday. I played Saturday at the grocery store in Bluffton, South Carolina. I met a young lady that just got adopted from Russia. And she got to see Santa Claus in the United States. So that was very interesting to try to wish her a Merry Christmas and everything. So that's what it's all about, is Santa Claus there making kids happy and all.
Well, tell us about some of the past times you have done that.
Oh, the past times I played for senior citizens' places, retirement homes, and the best ones is the ones that kids are has a disability and stuff, and when they see Santa Claus, they can be 25 years old and stuff, and they see him, and the stars light up in their eyes and all, and they come running. So it's just the seeing the happiness in the children's eyes and everything makes everything right.
So even for the disabled kids, you found a great deal of joy in those too.
Yeah, they, you know, they have different disabilities and everything, and once they see Santa Claus, it's a whole different world, and they come a-running.
Well, now, I'm not going to tell you age because you don't sound near like it on the conference call, but were you also playing Santa Claus back when you were at Bragg?
It's a good 10-4. I've done a whole lot of that. As this female lieutenant, she says, Can I kiss Santa Claus? I said, yeah. And she said, I've never kissed Santa Claus. And I said, I've never kissed a lieutenant either. No, I've been playing Santa Claus now probably for 30 years, 35 years. In fact, I decided to go ahead and let my hair grow, my beard grow, and I went to a beauty shop and had my hair dyed completely white, my beard white and everything, and working with the military. If that wasn't fun, trying to get by them guys. Man, what are you doing with white hair? But it's all about the kids. It's all about the kids. That's all it's about.
How about some Mr. Billy Dunn, are you still on tonight?
Yeah, I sure am.
Billy, I know that you're from up in Pennsylvania now.
Yes, sir.
Bill has stayed most of his time in North Carolina and South Carolina. But how about tell us some of your favorite stories from up in Pennsylvania area? We've got a lot of people up there now.
Well, it's... When I moved down to Virginia 27 years ago, I never really cut the ties from up north because I'm from Pittsburgh. And, you know, certain things just stay near and dear to your heart over the years. One of them happens to be our football team, which isn't doing too good this year. But nevertheless, you know, I have to fight all the people around here, Redskin fans and Baltimore fans and Atlanta fans, with my Steelers. But it's a lot of fun. We get together over Christmas, and win or lose, we still have a good time.
But
Roanoke's not necessarily
those
known.
Good times you had up there playing and visiting everybody then.
Yeah, and then we usually try to get back once or twice a year, which is a good thing. But I still would rather be down here.
Do you have a favorite story from your childhood Christmases?
Well, the stories that I have, you know, I'm up in years now, but the stories that I have go way back, and just about every Christmas up there, or at least every other one, it snowed, or there was a lot of snow on the ground. So getting around was a you know, monumental problem sometimes. Whereas down here, you kind of miss that. You know, we get snow occasionally, like in North Carolina. But up there, it just seemed to happen every other year at least, sometimes every year. So we were accustomed to white Christmases quite often. And believe me, snow on the ground during Christmas makes a big difference. It's probably the only day of the year I really like snow. All the rest of the days you can keep it.
So you're always especially looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am. Always.
Well, I've spent a portion of my childhood up on top of the Blue Ridge Mountain, and we got more snows up there around Christmas, not near as many as you would have on up in Pennsylvania.
Right.
Do we have anybody else tonight that wants to relate some of your best Christmas stories?
Yes, this is Al. And I
Al,
yeah. I do Santa Claus. I'm a professional Santa Claus. I'm SantaAl.com. And just recently was working a gig at the Cardinal Club on the 28th floor of the Wells Fargo Bank in downtown Raleigh. And, you know, with youngsters that used to be that you Santa would get a 12, 13, 14-year-old still wanting to make sure that Santa got the list. But with this modern technology and all this, everybody knowing everything, Santa's lucky to get an 8-year-old. But this youngster, he was a young lad. He must have been about 12, and he was dutiful to his folks. And his little brother came and sat on Santa Al's right knee, and the folks were standing behind him. And he wouldn't sit on Santa's knee. He just stood beside Santa. And when the question came, well, Neil, what do you want for Christmas? Santa, I don't want anything. Oh, really? You don't want anything for Christmas, Neil? Not anything for yourself? He says, no, you can't give me anything, Santa Claus. Because he knew that his folks were Santa Claus. And he knew the old man sitting in the red suit in the chair couldn't give him anything. Well, I reached out. I took his hand. I said, Neil, Santa Claus can give you something. I said, Santa Claus, as Saint Nicholas, blesses you that you may grow in health, wisdom, and prosperity to help bring peace to the earth as we celebrate the birthday of the Prince of Peace. Neil, you're one of Santa's good boys. Santa loves his good boys. Santa's proud of you. And that young lad walked away from there, turned back around, and looked at Santa Claus. And I think for the first time he'd come to realize that Santa is, in fact, a blessing.
You changed his mind, Santa.
Oh.
You know,
oh.
You look really like the part, too.
Well, yeah, been doing modeling and all sorts of things, but just Santa Al in action.
I'll say, this is some kind of a fella here. Well,
and I'm glad for
the
product, and I thank you.
I want to tell you a true Christmas story from my childhood, and I think it relates to maybe part of the reason that we have a lot of the problem that we have in America today. You know, we talk about the Amazing Grape product and what it'll do for people's health, and especially those people that are diabetic. And we talk about there being 75 million people affected by diabetes, and the government says that there will be maybe closer to 150 million people by 2020 unless we do something other about it. Well, I look in the grocery stores everywhere. I used to work in the grocery stores, and there's just tons of candy. There's just all a whole row, aisle of candy products and every kind of thing you can think of. There's every kind of pastry and sweets and all the stuff up and down the aisles. We just have all kinds of stuff there. And it's so easy for us to live good in America and go to the grocery store and just buy all kind of stuff, and we have all these sweets and everything all the time. Well, as early as just 100 years ago, or just over 100 years ago, it wasn't at all like that in America. And it wasn't that way a whole lot 50 years ago. And so I'm dating myself here, but I also want to date someone else. My grandmother was born long before the turn of the century, last century. In fact, one of my grandmothers, now not my great-grandmother, my grandmother, my dad's mom, was born just after the Civil War. She was born in 1869. My mother's mother was born in 1884. And so I kind of come a little bit wrongful on my generation, but I'm at the long end, I'm at the end of a long group of people myself. But my grandmother used to tell me the story. They lived in the ridges around Mount Airy, North Carolina. That she lived in a one-room, dirt-floored log cabin, and that's where she raised her family. But she said that somewhere, and this must have been somewhere just after the turn of the century, of 1900, so this was probably 1905, 1910, she said the tobacco farmers would raise their tobacco throughout the areas over there. They didn't have anything but little buckboard wagon trails run around through the countryside everywhere. They didn't have superhighways like we have now. And she said that a lot of the people never got out and went to the cities, and the city would be like Winston-Salem. A city would be Roanoke, Virginia, or Raleigh, North Carolina. And she said that this one old gentleman would always go off and sell his tobacco in Winston, which to the children, that was like a world away to go all the way to a city as far as Winston, which now is only a 30-minute drive from Mount Airy, but back then it was a day's journey, and so or more than a day's journey. But this old gentleman would go off and sell his tobacco in Winston with his wagons, and after he had sold his tobacco and made his money for the year, they'd work all year for that one big sale to make money to last till the next year. And if they couldn't put up stuff and dry stuff to eat and preserve things and all, they didn't have much to eat. It was, you know, kind of slim pickings back in the hills. And Grandma said this old fellow would go and he would sell his tobacco, and he would always go to the store there in Winston and he would get a bucket full of wrapped candy. And she said he would bring it back to the mountain, and she said he would go out and walk because they didn't have many roads. They just had paths around through the mountains. And she said he would walk all through the mountains there through by Mount Airy and all around Westfield and Asbury and all through the countryside. He would walk through the foothills, and every time he come to a house, he would stop, and if there was a child in the house, or if they had several children, each child could get one piece of candy out of the bucket, and he would go on to the next house, and he would give the children a piece of candy. He'd go on to the next house until he had walked all over that whole, he spent the fall walking all over the countryside and giving every one of the kids a piece of candy. Now, that was the only piece of candy those kids got for the whole year. That's the only thing they saw as being, you know, something that was, you know, from a store-bought situation, because most of them lived out in the hills and the ridges there and hardly ever went to town. And so when you think about that being the way life was for a great deal of rural America back just 100 years ago, and then you think of 50 years ago, whenever there really was just a few name brands, there was just a few things like that. When you went to the store, it was a big decision to sit there and look at a dozen different types of candy, you know, and decide whether you wanted to buy one of them or not. And now it is just bombarded in every store, in every place we go. They're just full of all kind of sugar products everywhere. And so it's a contrast. It's a true Christmas story. I think that fellow embodied a whole lot of what Santa Al was just saying, is that, you know, he had a true spirit about him. He loved the children, and he really wanted to do something other for them to brighten their year. And I imagine that, you know, as much as it touched me, that it touched all those kids of what happened to them at this time of year. And I think it can to every one of us as we look at all the blessings we have and what a wonderful place we have in America, even though with the tragedy and with things that we know that are sad, we still believe that this is the best country in the world and we have so much to be thankful for. But because of that, we have also let ourselves sort of down to just putting on so much commercial stuff that sometimes we have to overindulge, and or it's there for us to overindulge. And I think that's what the society has, and they have let themselves have all these different brands of candy and just tremendous stuff, and that is making a difference, making a huge difference in their health. And so we at Amazing Grape have something to offer those people that can also help to reverse that and help to counteract it, and yet we want to always give them the message, just like Santa Al did, that there is something better for them. They need to consider their own health as well, and their well-being, and their blessings. And so it bears repeating that that is such a contrast of the reason why that we have the health problems and things that we have in the United States today. Anybody else got any Christmas stories they'd like to tell? Well, I don't hear anybody, so I guess I have probably run the time out with that. It is now past our time, and so I just want to tell all of you how much I do appreciate you being on the call tonight, how much I appreciate you being with us this year, and we will be giving you all some information before we have another conference call. We won't have a conference call next week or the next, because Monday night of each one of them will be Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. But we will be letting you know right after the first of the year how we're going to start the schedule again. And we also have some things we're working on that may be a little bit more exciting for you. But your bottles coming out for your December autoship is going to have the new labeling on it. We hope you will like the new labeling and what it looks like, and we hope you will be seeing a lot more new labels and things in the coming year. For all of us here at Amazing Grape, I want to thank each and every one of you, and I'll bid you all a good night.
Oh, oh, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Paul.
Good night.
Mr. Paul.
Yes.
I don't know if you got my message the other day. Mary Lou said that good thing you didn't eat that pork roast from Cracker Barrel. You wouldn't have enjoyed it. You'd have loved it.
I got that message.
Merry Christmas, Paul.
All right, sir. Appreciate it.
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.